As Natalie did, I'm going to read to you from the Message Bible this morning, because it is easier to listen to. And when Scripture was first written, it was stories that were told, letters or gospels that were read aloud to a congregation that did not have Bibles to follow in. This is from John's Gospel. Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. But to get there, he passed through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone into the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" In those days, Jews wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us?" Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of everlasting life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again." He said, "Go, call your husband and then come back." "I have no husband," she said. "That's nicely put, I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough." "Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshiped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right?" "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father, neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You're worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter, and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that counts before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit, and those who worship God must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration." The woman said, "I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming, and when He arrives, we'll get the whole story." "I am He," said Jesus. "You don't have to wait any longer or look any farther." Just then the disciples came back and they were shocked. They couldn't believe He was talking to that kind of a woman. No one said what they were thinking, but their faces showed it. The woman took the hint and left, and in her confusion, she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told the people, "Come see a man who knew all about the things they did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah?" And they went to see for themselves. In the meantime, the disciples pressed Jesus, "Rabbi, eat. Aren't you going to eat?" He told them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." The disciples were puzzled. Who could have brought Him food? Jesus said, "The food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started." As you look around right now, you wouldn't say that in about 4 months it will be time for the harvest. Well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. The Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. The harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay, gathering in his grain. That's ripe for eternal life. Now the sower is arm in arm with the harvester, triumphant. That's the truth of the saying, this one sows and that one harvests. I sent you to harvest a field that you never worked without lifting a finger. You have walked in on the field, worked long and hard by others. Many of the Samaritans from that village committed themselves to him because of the woman's witness. He knew all about the things I did, and he knows me inside out. They asked him to stay on. So Jesus stayed 2 days. A lot more people entrusted their lives to him when they heard what he had to say. They said to the woman, "We're no longer taking this on your say-so. We've heard it for ourselves and know it is sure. He is the Savior of the world." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. If you join me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight. And may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. And anything said that is false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. She met him at the well. It was not a prearranged meeting. It was the middle of the day, and she'd hoped that she would not see anybody as she carried her water jug to the well. Perhaps she was not like any of you who need to go out and get that last item from the grocery store on the weekend, and rather than change your clothes or brush or comb your hair or shave, you decide that you'll risk it and go to the grocery store hoping against hope that you will not meet somebody you know. And sure enough, as it always goes, when you first walk in, you not only meet someone that you know, but you meet a whole bunch of people you know. She had not expected to see anybody at the well, but still, there he was. He asked her for a drink of water. Now, by his appearance, she could tell that he was a Jew. And see, Jews and Samaritans did not talk to one another. This had been going on for generation on after generation. They did not help one another. They saw each other as being unclean, as being different, as being wrong-headed. And yet, there he was, this Jew asking her, a Samaritan, for a drink of water. She questioned that. How can this possibly be? And he said to her, "If you only knew who it was that was asking you for a drink of water, you would not be asking me questions." And so it went, back and forth. In the course of their conversation, he told her to go into the village and to get her husband and return to him. And she said, "I have no husband." And as you know, he said, "That's right, you have no husband. You've had 5 husbands. But the way that he said it was not in a judgmental way that many contemporary preachers wish to present her. Because they forget that in that day and age, divorce was the sole prerogative of the man. And so she had been passed from man to man to man to man to man. She was a victim of her culture, of her society, of her religion. And Jesus did not condemn her. And as he spoke to her, not just about well water, but living water. Water that's like an artesian well that springs up, always fresh and new. I think John was trying to tell his readers, his first listeners, that life in Jesus Christ is a new thing, that he offers a new way of life. That in Jesus Christ we are invited to leave the darkness under which Nicodemus came to Jesus and are into the light of God's love seen in Christ. Jesus talked about what life really is. Talking to her about living water, he said to her, "You can be freed from the chains that have been forged by your past. You are not defined by what happened to you, but you are defined by who you are, a child of God. And your new life begins today." It was almost like being born again. She ran back to her village and she told everyone she met, "I think I may have seen the Messiah. He told me everything that I ever did. He knows all about my past. And yet, he asked me for water. He asked me to minister to him." The disciples, meantime, returned from the village. They were shocked to see Jesus talking to a woman. Because even to this day, in the Middle Eastern culture, men do not talk to women who they are not married to without a chaperone present. The disciples had been to the same village that the woman ran back to, and here's the amazing, interesting thing. They had not brought anyone to Jesus. And who knew Jesus better than the disciples? This woman was so filled with excitement, she couldn't contain herself. She had to tell others about how Jesus had touched her life and changed her life. And these disciples did nothing. Nothing. And the people came back with the woman. They invited Jesus to stay with them for 2 days, and as he was leaving, they said to the woman, "We now believe what you say because of how he touched our lives and changed us forever." That raised a question in my mind, a very serious question. When was the last time you have been so excited about what God is doing in your life because of your participation in this congregation that you invited someone else to come with you to an event or to worship? When have you been like the Samaritan woman and been so filled with grace? Had your life so changed that you couldn't contain yourself? The woman in the well. The woman in the water. To God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.